Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz, coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes' final show here before Week 6 Packers-Cowboys arrives on Sunday afternoon at Lambeau Field. And an interesting situation developing at running back for the Packers. Eddie Lacy has been limited in practice both Wednesday and Thursday due to his ankle injury. Hasn't been doing a whole lot, but has been getting out and rehabbing and running around a little bit. But James Starks also on the injury report with a knee injury, and then returned home to Buffalo this week for personal reasons due to a death in the family. He's scheduled to return to the team sometime on Saturday. Then after that, you have Randall Cobb or Ty Montgomery with what they've done in the backfield, and Don Jackson, the rookie on the practice squad, should they choose to activate another running back for Sunday's game. So got any feeling on how this one shakes out?
Well, it certainly is an interesting little situation the Packers find themselves in. I mean, listen to all the assistant coaches talk on Thursday night. I don't think anybody's really too alarmed at this point in time. I think also traditionally, and I can't speak for Eddie Lacy, I don't know what he's feeling right now, but he has gritted through a lot of ankle injuries in the past. And one of the things I mentioned in our five key matchups on the website is that actually one of the best games he's ever had in his career was against the Cowboys his rookie season, 141 rushing yards. I think he had 30 receiving and a touchdown while playing on that sprained ankle that most of the week he'd be in a boot and then he'd play on game days. So this is a guy that's certainly tough, and he's pulled it through in the past. The only question is, if he does play, how much can the Packers use him?
Yeah, for sure. And that's the thing. How long would he last in a game? You would hope nothing else would happen to the ankle. But I remember that rookie year, 2013, with Eddie Lacy. He was, after the ankle injury, he was wearing a boot on his leg pretty much the entire week. He would take a couple of practice reps on Friday, which at that time was the last practice of the week, and then it was, okay, tape it up and go out there and play on Sunday. And you mentioned the game down in Dallas. That was the big comeback by Matt Flynn at quarterback and everything. Eddie, I believe, had a 60-yard run in that game. I mean, imagine trying to run 60 yards on a bad ankle. And he did this routine with the boot and then get out there and play on Sunday for the last four games of the season, three regular season and then the one playoff game. So certainly no questioning his toughness. If Eddie Lacy is able in any way, shape, or form to play, I think he's out there on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, and it was really remarkable when you go back. I mean, that whole season he was so important. I mean, that's what really galvanized his Rookie of the Year honors, I believe.
Absolutely.
In my mind, Offensive Rookie of the Year. The Packers really needed him down the stretch when, obviously, Matt Flynn was kind of managing the offense, had just been back for about a month and found himself trying to keep them in the playoff chase. Lacy stepping up. And really, you know, you look at even these past couple years where there's been some incidences where he sort of played through those ailments as well. He's a big, tough guy, and that's sort of the thing I think that stood out to me immediately from the day that he got here, is that he's willing to go the extra mile. Now, the other question on the table is with James Starks. With him not being here this week, and obviously for the right reasons, being back with his family, it really doesn't give you – it's sort of up in the air in terms of what his availability is. You know, what is the knee issue with him? Is it minor? Is it something that he could play? You know, we don't know.
Right.
So, as you mentioned, some of the other options. Don Jackson was a guy, as Ben Sherman's talked about this week, Packers are really high on. And certainly if he has to jump in there or something like that has to work out, the Packers have confidence that these guys have picked it up enough to carry the load.
Yeah, and the Packers' run game as a whole certainly off to a good start. Eddie Lacy off to a great start this year. Actually, in the last two games before the ankle injury last week, Eddie is averaging about 6.5 yards a carry over his last two games. So they've got the running game going, and we expect Eddie to be out there. But regardless of who's carrying the ball for the Packers on Sunday, the offensive line's been doing the job in the running game. And you did a little research this week on, you know, a bit of an anomaly with regard to the Packers' offensive line, that they have three players from the same draft class who are starting together on the offensive line, and that's not a very common thing around the NFL.
No, it's actually pretty difficult to find two. And for my money, all I was able to do is, I think it was the Saints have the same left tackle and same left guard from the same draft class. But the Packers, it's really interesting when you go back to 2013, all three of those guys have taken different paths to the starting lineup. David Bakhtiari was thrown in right away at left tackle into the fire and you know, took over that position. J.C. Treader had the knee injury, was going to be the starting center, had that setback. Well, now got that job back 2 years later. And then Lane Taylor has sort of been the watch and develop kind of prospect out of this, an undrafted rookie in 2013 out of Oklahoma State. Now he's been inserted in the offensive line, and they haven't missed a beat there either. So it's really interesting when you go back and look at those three guys, and not only them entering the league at the same time, but just the different paths they took to get to this point.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we've got plenty more to talk about here as we get ready for Cowboys-Packers on Sunday afternoon. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, we've been talking about it all week, this matchup. The Cowboys' number one rushing offense and Ezekiel Elliott, the top running back in the league, against the Packers' number one ranked rush defense. And the question everybody wants to know is, okay, so what do the Packers have to hold the Cowboys to in terms of rushing yards in order to win this game? The Cowboys average 155 rushing yards a game, tops in the league. The Packers allow 42.7,
I believe.
Yeah, okay, so 43.
Not to get all like specific
on
you.
Yeah, we'll round up and call it 43. But it's interesting because if you split the difference, okay, you can't let the Cowboys get their average. The Packers are not likely to hold the Cowboys to the Packers' average. If you split the difference, the number is 99. Mm-hmm. And interestingly also, the Cowboys average 4.6 yards per carry. The Packers average allowing 2.0. You split the difference there, that's 3.3. So is 99 yards and a 3.3 average, is that the standard? Is that what the Packers have to beat?
Ooh, that's a tough one, Mike. Yeah. I think you got all those numbers going on in my head. I don't think I have a high enough IQ to be able to calculate all that. But yeah, I think that is a good mark. And this isn't going to be a traditional weekend. I don't know. And if the Packers do it, more power to them. But holding Zeke Elliott to under 50 yards is going to be tough, I would think.
Yeah.
But the thing is, and I think you bring up a great point, if you get 100 yards, fine. You know, that isn't the worst thing in the world.
Right.
But if it does, if you can get it under 4 yards per carry, if you can get in that 3.3 range or the lower that number, that's the one I actually look at a little bit more. Because the thing about the Cowboys, and Dom Capers was kind of asked about this a little bit this week, is that they will run the ball. They will run the ball until they have success running the ball.
Yeah.
That's how they build their offense. That's how they make the system go. So Even if they are containing him, even if it is 2 and 3 yard carries, the Cowboys are going to keep pushing.
Oh yeah!
So it's
going
to be up to the Packers' defensive front not to give in the second half, be able to stay, get that rotation going, everybody stay fresh, and being able to make them work for those yards. Because as Dom Capers said last year, he had no problem with the way they defended the run. It was just about too many big plays. You take away the big plays, and they still run it a little bit. That's not the end of the world. It's just making sure that Elliott doesn't go off.
Yeah, and that's where I see the Cowboys. I'm with you. I think the Cowboys are going to stick to their run game. It's what their offense is built on. Even if the Packers get up a couple of scores, if it's not down to the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter, even down a couple of scores, the Cowboys are still going to run the ball. They are going to look at it as eventually Zeke is going to break one,
right,
and it's going to flip the game. And that I really expect Dallas to stick to it. And I don't expect the Packers, unless they completely blow them out, which I think would be highly unlikely, unless they completely blow them out, I don't think the Cowboys are just going to abandon the run game. It's their bread and butter.
No doubt. And I mean, and I think it's one of those things too. They haven't really been in the position yet where they are trying to make up from behind. In all these games, they've really always sort of been in it, you know, even including their loss in some aspects. So this is going to be one of those contests, though, that I'm really, like I put down as one of the keys of this game, is the ability to pressure Prescott, being able to rush him to contain, because as we've seen, he can scramble, but also seeing if you can make it a one-dimensional game in some capacity, whether it is shutting down Elliott, whether it is shutting down Prescott in the passing game, see if you can get them to one element. Because that's the thing, is that probably more than any other team in the league right now, they're doing an exceptional job of really balancing and playing off one another with the run and the pass.
Yeah.
So if you can take away one of those dimensions, I don't care which one it is, I think that could go a long way into being able to establish the rhythm, tempo, and ultimately a victory in this matchup.
Yeah, I would agree. And the other question that everybody's wondering with regards to the Packers' defense is, will they be the first defense to get an interception on Dak Prescott? Yeah. As we talked about during the week, he's started his career, he's played five games, has not thrown an interception yet. Now the Packers, they've had their hands on some interceptions the last few games. We saw Micah Hyde, we saw Joe Thomas, we saw Ladarius Gunter,
Morgan
Burnett in the game against the Giants this past week. The Packers have had their opportunities for interceptions. They're getting their hands on the ball. Do you think Dak Prescott throws his first interception on Sunday?
I mean, statistically, it would tell you that it has to be coming here eventually. I'm still looking for anybody. What was it? Was it Nick Foles a few years ago that went like 27-2, like touchdown to interception ratio?
Yeah.
So I mean, quarterbacks. I mean, Aaron Rodgers. Look at him. I mean, it's getting pretty ridiculous what some of these guys have been able to do in terms of multiplying the touchdowns, you know, despite the interceptions. But the thing that's impressed me about Prescott, the little bit that I've been able to watch him now, and most of that's been this past week, is that he does an amazing job of protecting the football.
Yep.
It's one thing to put the ball in a precarious position or to have a near interception, as you outlined some of those for the Packers to this point of the season. That hasn't happened a lot with Prescott. Now, they're also not asking him to throw the ball 25 yards downfield every time. I mean, it's been a very conservative offense in terms of how they've used him and in the kind of the game plan they've had. But for him for being a rookie and not having one of those just panic plays yet, I think is really important. But I also would maintain that he hasn't seen a pass rush quite like Green Bay. And if the Packers can, you know, Nick Perry and Clay Matthews and this entire group can sort of get that water boiling a little bit like they have the last few weeks, I'll be interested to see how he responds.
Yeah, and if there's one word we've heard more often than any other this week in the description of Prescott, it's poise.
Yeah.
And on the road at Lambeau Field, as you say, facing a pass rush that's been pretty darn good so far this year, that is another storyline aside from the Cowboys running game, is how will Prescott respond in some of those situations. It should be a great matchup. So with that, we'll throw it to a break, and we'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. So, Wes, we've talked about trying to slow down the Cowboys' running game, trying to pressure Dak Prescott, maybe get an interception from him. Any other thing or things that you see as keys to victory for the Packers on Sunday afternoon?
Mike, I'm going to answer your question with another question.
All right.
Mike McCarthy, all offseason, where did he talk about where the Packers need to win on the field? Right up the middle. Being able to make plays in the middle of the field. I think that is really ultimately going to be one of the big deciding factors in this game. How much the Packers are able to penetrate the middle of Dallas's defense, but also protect against it. Because if you look at what Prescott has done so far this season, like a lot of young quarterbacks, really utilizing the tight end, really utilizing his slot receiver and Cole Beasley. And Beasley, in specific, has really been one of the most productive receivers for them, especially during this downtime with Dez Bryant. He's kind of become that little bit of a safety valve for Prescott and being able to work underneath and be able to really move the chains at times. And we've seen him before. I mean, he's been coming on here the last 2-3 years.
Yep.
He's not a guy that's going to get 1,000 yards. He's not going to jump off to you in your fantasy football league, but he's been extremely effective. Same thing with Jason Witten. And now Witten, certainly when you look at the speed and the probably the numbers on that side of it, not what it was 10 years ago.
No.
But as Dom Capers said, still incredibly effective just with his instincts and knowledge of the game and where to be and how to get to where the pylon is. So those are the two guys I think that the Packers are really going to have a difficult time trying to really point out, contain throughout the course of the game. It can be done, but I just think that's one area where Prescott's really going to be trying to work.
Yeah, and with Witten, I look at him as he's like a basketball player out there, and what I mean is that he just boxes people out.
Yeah.
He just shields guys away from the ball and makes the catches to move the chains. As you say, he's extremely effective. He's not a speed burner. He's not necessarily going to make the big, huge play down the field, but boy, is he's tough to handle. He's really tough to guard, and as far as the Packers attacking the middle of the field, not an easy task with Sean Lee at linebacker on the other side, a very, very active defender. defender, really, really savvy guy, a playmaker, maybe the biggest playmaker the Cowboys have on defense. So that's a big challenge. I look at the key for the Packers, and it goes along with the Jason Witten thoughts. Defense on third down. I know that's big in every game, but the Cowboys are first in the league in third down conversions on offense. They convert 50%, and mostly that's because their running game is so good. They're in third and two,
third and three,
yep, all the time. So the Packers are going to give up some third down conversions in this game, but those opportunities, when you get them into a third and seven or a third and eight, because it doesn't happen very often, those are the moments the Packers have to win. They have to get off the field when they get them in a third down, a legitimate passing situation, and I think that's a huge key on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you think about it, that's one of the reasons why the Packers have been pretty effective in that area too. I think they're tied for ninth right now in the league because they have been in a lot of third and long situations. Their opponents have been. That allows you to get the dime defense on the field. That allows you to get your pass rushers out there and really pressure the quarterback, because as how many times have you and I heard Dom Capers say the phrase, the ball has to come out.
Yeah.
And that's true. So the faster you get to the quarterback, the less of a chance that he has to find his open man or to potentially make a mistake, give your defense a chance for that turnover. So that's critical. But also, and I want to mention this too, when you look at the Packers on their side of the field and in their third down conversion, getting Randall Cobb going the way they did on Sunday against the New York Giants, I think could be really critical for them going forward. It just seems to me that during that game, particularly on that first drive where they're switching up all their personnel, they really made an emphasis to get Cobb the football and put him in situations to really make him effective underneath. And you saw it, and I said it earlier this week too. I mean, with nine catches, each one of them meant something in that victory. If you can get him going, yes, you have Sean Lee in the middle. You have a much improved cornerback and safety group from the Cowboys, but Cobb's the key, especially without Jared Cook right now. They need to make use of him in the middle of the field.
Yeah, I would agree. I think we definitely saw some positive signs with Randall Cobb. I think the comment wide receivers coach, his name escaped me for a minute. Sorry about that. His comment from with regards to the Giants game is that Cobb played with a purpose.
Yes.
When the ball was in his hands, he had a purpose with it, and we really saw what I think is a great sign going forward for this offense with Randall Cobb. And on third down, the Cowboys' defense is nothing spectacular statistically. They're in the bottom half, maybe even the bottom third of the league. I think they're allowing 43% conversions. The Packers' defense, we've really only seen them have one rough game on third down, and that was against Detroit when Detroit was making the big comeback there in the second half. So third down is always big, but when you look at the numbers and you look at these players involved, it's really, really going to be the money down on Sunday.
Definitely, and I think it's kind of like the pass defense too, where if you take away that one game, that Lions contest, the Packers are probably top five in the league in that category right now. I think if you look at it, especially with how the pass defense kind of bounced back, I think this is a big game for them now going up against the rookie.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz, and Wes, final segment of the week. We'll take a quick look at a couple of other games around the NFC that will be going on Sunday. One, the Rams at Detroit. And we saw Detroit get a big win last week over the Philadelphia Eagles. And if the Lions are able to knock off another team that's over 500 in the NFC, it would get the Lions back to 3-3. And they'd be right back in the mix, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is the thing that's funny about the league, where one week you can be, the world is falling down, everything's crashing, what is going on here? And then the next week you can be right back in the thick of it. I mean, that's kind of the do-or-die nature of everything. But certainly, you look at the Lions, you and I talked about it 2.5 weeks ago. I mean, they have the ability, they have the talent. I really like the moves they made in the wake of losing Calvin Johnson.
Yep.
Now they add Justin Forsett to the mix now too, so we can see what he might potentially be able to do for that running game. I've always kind of been partial to the Rams. I know offensively it's still always been a work in progress, it seems, for the last 4 years, but I still like what they built defensively. And I think this is a team that can't compete, and I don't think it's a fluke that they're 3-2. So that's a good matchup to watch, and I'm excited to see how it plays out, because for both of them, there's a lot of things there. With the Rams, you have to be able to stay pace in that division, and the Lions are trying to catch back up.
Yeah, for sure. And an even bigger one in the NFC will be going on at the same time as Packers-Cowboys. The Falcons are at the Seahawks. So now you look at this, Green Bay against Dallas, Atlanta against Seattle. That's four teams in the NFC that right. all have one loss. So two of those four are going to get their second loss here in week six. This Falcons Seahawks game is a really good looking ball game.
Yeah, I can't get over the Falcons schedule. I mean, my goodness, what a grinder this has been for them to have to, you know, you go to New Orleans, who they can, you know, stay in pace with everybody. You had to travel to Oakland, who's been really good this year.
That's Oakland's only loss.
Yeah,
I think,
right.
Is to Atlanta. So
and Carolina, you know, still the defending NFC champion. And then Denver, Seattle, then you got Green Bay in 2 weeks. It is impressive what they've done, especially with their offense, with some of this, yep. What they've seen. Now they go into that stadium, that crowd, that defense. this will probably be the biggest challenge that they've seen to this point, and that's saying something coming off of that win against Denver.
Yeah, for sure. A lot more eyes are going to be on the Falcons now moving forward. As you say, you take nothing away from what they've accomplished, and I think everybody's wondering, because the Falcons got off to such a hot start last year and then faded in the second half of the season, is can the Atlanta Falcons sustain it? And with these upcoming games against the Seahawks and the Packers, they're going to get their chance to prove it.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to imagine they're hungry, too, to come back off of that, but I'm really interested to see how that offense does in that stadium, because that is as loud of an environment as you'll ever be in if you've never been there.
That's a tough place to function. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see if they can keep it going, because certainly the way they've played and get Julio Jones involved the way that Matt Ryan has, this is a team that looks like they're finally primed to retake the NFC South, excuse me.
Yeah, for sure. They put themselves in the right position. We'll see what happens going forward. But with that, we'll call that a wrap on Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford. You can find the team account at Packers. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.